Hello, and welcome to episode 68, Divided by Werewolves. Next episode will be the nice episode. You know what's up. That's so stupid. I don't know why I said that. That's like the dumbest fucking thing. But here we are.
We're going to have Rob Gronkowski on with us for the next.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, ladies and gentlemen. I was going to drink some Jameson tonight, but it would be the last of my Jameson. And I was like, can't have that. Mm. Cannot have that.
I didn't know. I got pinched by my daughter today. And I was like, what the hell are you pinching me for?
For St. Patrick's Day?
I'm so fucking disconnected from reality at this point.
Is that a thing? Pinching someone on St. Patrick's Day?
For not wearing green. I don't know green, so.
Shit, neither did I.
Yeah, you should have got pinched. Day ain't over yet.
I guess so. Oh, wow. I didn't even know it was St. Patrick's Day. My daughter's like, is today St. Patrick's Day? I was like, I don't know. And she's like, I was like, what day is St. Patrick's Day? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, this is the conversation. This is the level of intelligence at the Kikowski Chanel household. My daughter goes, what's today? I go, I don't know. Sunday? And she goes, is it St. Patrick's Day? I go, I don't know. When's St. Patrick's Day? And she goes, I don't know. The 17th? I said, I don't know. Is today the 17th? She's like, I don't know. And in the bathroom, and then also my wife yells in, yes! Yes, it's St. Patrick's Day! And it's the 17th! She's probably sitting in the other room going, oh my God. What the fuck? So I'm like, yeah, okay. St. Patrick's Day. Fuck if I know. Need some Lucky Charms. Move on with your life. How the fuck? I mean... Anyway. But, yeah, so, we got a lot to talk about, like a whole bunch, so we're going to get right to it. Okay, so I have not played Destiny 2 since, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Did some stuff in Forsaken, and then
you hit 600, you never look back.
I pieced the fuck out. And then, because the season of the Wrangler, or Gambler, whatever the fuck the first one was, I was like, nah. And then season of the Drifter, and I was like, and I've mentioned this before, I do not understand what these things are.
You know, right. And they say they've been listening to player feedback, and they think this is what players want. Okay, bitching about expansions that have shit single player experiences doesn't mean we don't want single player experiences.
Right.
And that's what I don't understand, because, like, I bought the season pass on both systems, so I'm still waiting for there to be something for me to fucking do as a primarily solo player. The season of the Forge or whatever with the forges and this and that, like, it was just armor and weapons you would grind for in a new match-made PvE mode, but they fucked that up by making it so goddamn hard that you couldn't do it. And having it be match-made, that doesn't fix that.
Right.
Okay. Like, unless you're playing in a fire team, still, I think, realistically, unless you have a fire team or at least one other person to help you and that you communicate with, it's fucking hit or miss whether or not you complete even the first forge.
Right.
For me, anyway. And
right.
It's just like, I'm trying to figure out where my money went, because right. I've nothing to do.
Well, then I read about it, like, they're like, oh, they made all these changes to Gambit. And I actually, like, I still read Penny Arcade, even though I kind of read it more out of habit. But, you know, I mean, sometimes I find it funny. Most of the time, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. But they had the comic where like, Tiger was talking to Gabe, and Gabe's like, yeah, now, you know how, like, before you had to, like, lose three matches of Gambit before you could go in another match, or three rounds? He's like, now you can lose just one round of Gambit before you go to do another match.
That's it.
And then Tiger's like, well, or win. And Gabe's like, nobody wins at Gambit.
No. Jesus Christ.
But so I'm like reading about all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, all that shit that you've done, well, yeah, you can throw that away and throw in with the space hobo. And it's like fucking narrative consequences. And I'm like, wait, what? Like,
yeah. I legitimately don't understand where this newfound, like, push for fucking Matthew McConaughey in Destiny has come from. Like, he's this super interesting character who
Matthew McConaughey
never given
needs
shit
to be
about.
In everything. It's the
well,
reconnaissance.
Drifter, man. Come on. Like, I don't give a shit about the Drifter. I'm never going to give
Who
a shit
does?
About him. He doesn't interest me in the least.
I don't even, and that's the thing. It's like they kind of, they like, we're going to introduce this game mode. And you're like, okay, cool. And then they're like, well, we're just going to have this weird guy. And he's got, for whatever reason, all these weird dog tags. And he just flips them around. And then he picks one. Right. And you go fight. And he gives you shit. And you're like, yeah, all right, whatever. It makes as much sense as anything else. And now they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, now you can decide to align yourself with him for reasons. Who knows why? And you're like,
suddenly,
what?
Suddenly in the lore, he's like super, super important and shit. And he knows about the fall and the next fall that's coming. And I'm just like, who the fuck is that? Why do I care? Like, yeah. I don't know, man.
So what does that mean, though? Like, what does it mean for the game? Like, if like have they explained? Like, if you say, yes, you're my man, I'm falling in with you, what that means?
It's all forthcoming. So I aligned with the Vanguard with my hunter, and then I'm going to align with Peckerhead with my warlock. And but there's
With Space Spicoli.
Right. But literally nothing makes sense right now. And there's nothing – like it's all like, oh, it'll pan out in future content. And I'm like, I'm so
– That's a big if,
just,
right?
Right.
That's such a big if.
I'm so like frustrated with this season pass. I don't know if I want any more of that type of shit. And it sucks because, as you know, like Destiny is my shit. Like that's what I want to play.
Yeah.
But they're almost making it impossible for me as a primarily solo person to continue to play the game, even though I desperately want to. So much so that I'm playing fucking Gambit and fucking Gambit Prime when I don't even like Gambit.
See, Gambit to me was... I think that if you were to play Gambit with, again, and again, this is what you had talked about in terms of solo. If you were to play Gambit with a group, I could see where you could just wreck some shit. Because you and I together, even you and I coordinating was enough. And that's the thing that it's like, you know, you go on a strike, whatever, like every three people, you're all doing your own shit. It's such a narrowly focused experience that everybody doing their own thing is essentially doing the thing, right?
Right. Yes.
And Gambit is not like that. Mm-mm. Because your own thing could be, well, I'm trying to get this fucking that I mean the worst thing they did to Gambit was to make exotic weapon quests that focused on players doing their own shit in Gambit.
And the pinnacle weapons also, but yes.
And so so then you end up, you know, having people where you're like, guys, we need to, like I see y'all carrying around, like, you've got fucking duffel bags worth of shards or whatever the fuck you're called. Turn that shit in and let's just fucking end this.
Right. We're down 60 to 15.
And I see you have enough. Right. Like, right. And then somebody like invades and they're like, oh, they're gone. You know, whereas, so when you and I would play and we were coordinated, you know, either I'm doing the killing and you're doing the collecting or vice versa, we usually could do pretty well. So just having half of your team on the same page.
Right.
So if you're with a group of people, I can understand, I could see where that would be good. But again, like, going back to your original point, you'd have to be with a group of people.
So basically, like, their big deal this season is Gambit Prime, it seems. And all Gambit Prime is one round of Gambit, only just every player is supposed to have a specific role.
Yeah.
Nobody plays it that way.
No.
If you're solo queuing, especially, right. Like I am. So it's just everybody, it's the same fucking thing. Now, yeah, granted, the rounds are shorter, which is nice. Right. And the Reckoning, I didn't like it first, especially by myself. I've kind of come around on the Reckoning. I like it. Unfortunately, you have to play Gambit Prime in order to enter the Reckoning and fully get the armor and all of what you're striving for when you do the Reckoning.
Right.
So it sucks that they're making me play Gambit this season if I want to do the other things that I actually kind of do like.
Yeah.
And I just kind of have the feeling that sort of it's time to move on from Destiny, and that fucking sucks.
Well, I wonder then what the third – so what is the third – have they mentioned at all what the third season is?
No, like they've made no mention of the next thing. Like there's a spring event coming up, and then there's Arc Week, whatever the fuck that is. And then they've really not said anything about – other than your decisions with whether you side with the Vanguard or the Drifter. So far, having sided with the Vanguard, the only difference is the Drifter calls me snitch all the time. So that's it. That's the only difference.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
Season 3, season of the Crucible. Mitch is like, I'm out. I'm done. I'll peace the fuck out. Going to a deserted island. Don't call me. I'll call you.
I'll curl up in the fetal position and cry until Destiny 3 drops,
I'll
I guess.
I'll call you on my coconut. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, everybody who's all, like, you know, we talked about this before. Everybody was, like, super excited that, you know, they cut ties. Okay, well, whatever you have now through whatever the last season is of the season pass, that's it.
Yeah,
that's all you're getting until Destiny 3.
Much.
Hope you like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you'll get seasonal. They'll do. I'm sure they've got enough. Whatever. It's not. I can't imagine it's that big of a deal for them to flip a switch and be like, okay, now it's Valentine's Day or whatever.
Yeah, sure. The events or whatever. Like, I know Did you do You did the Haunted Forest stuff, right?
Yeah.
Haunted Forest. So yeah. The spring events bringing about a different version of the forest, and I'm sure there'll be a gun or something to go for and shit like that. But like, as far as like actual content, it's pretty fucking dry if you don't like Gambit right now.
Who doesn't like Gambit? You.
I don't.
Most people.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I played Gambit, I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And then the last time I played Gambit, I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah. Same.
No, I knew what I was doing. I just was like, seriously, what are you doing? And then it's like, okay, yep.
I went for the pinnacle gun last season in Gambit, which was an auto rifle, the Breakneck, which is amazing. You had to play 40 fucking matches.
Yeah.
And I was like, I never want to play Gambit again. And they're like, oh, guess what? Season of the Drifter.
Yeah. My favorite part of Gambit was like, you'd queue up and you'd be like, okay, you know, all right, you know, falling at the trees. And then you'd be like, sweet, falling at the trees. And you're like, how do they have 70 already? Like, what? Mm-hmm. What? Did I black out? Did I have a seizure? They have 70. How do they have 70? And we have like negative 16 because someone is like fucking dancing in the middle of the field and they got shot 19 times and just shards erupted from their body. And I'm like,
you remember how often when we would play that we would have an invader?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like three times as many times in Prime.
Yeah, and they're like,
there's a fucking invader every 8 seconds.
They're like, Dark Phoenix has invaded your game. You're like, cool. You know, or like, I never understood when they were like, you know, this is part that always would bug me is it's like you would get your nemesis or whatever the fuck it was called down to like a CH of health, and they would have the full thing, and then they're like, oh, they called in a nuclear strike. It's dead. You're dead. They burned it down.
Oh, what?
How? What? What combination of sorcery and weapons did they use to bring that fucking thing down from 100% health to negative 70 health in the blink of an eye?
And they did address that. I will say that's one thing in Prime they did address.
I never understood that how that could happen. Right. But anyway, well, I can tell you, and although your comment this morning when I was streaming probably doesn't make this, I felt bad. I'm fucking all in on Division 2. Holy shit. I am all in. I mean, I had concerns about the beta, how much you'd be able to solo, and they tweaked it or that build was sufficiently behind or what, but I'm so in on this game. Now that I have I have a hunting rifle with a scope, and I'm like, who brings a hunting rifle? Like, oh yeah, can y'all hang back for a minute and a half? Because I need to reload this bitch, you know. But I got
scope when you put it on the machine gun, though.
I was like, wow, that's a mistake. I can't see. I turn around and there's a guy there with like a fucking police baton. Like, oh, hey, what's up? It's like, yeah, I'm gonna beat you to death. Yeah. You cool with that? Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. That was my favorite part of that stream. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. I get so excited to have a scope because I'm so bad at aiming. And I thought, oh, this will cure all that ails me. And then I zoomed in. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. You want an ACOG or a red dot?
A red dot. That's what I need. Yeah. But none of the 4X zoom. It's like, I can see no one. There's no one immediately in front of me. Guess I'm safe. And everybody's like crowded around me with like a fucking minigun and grenades.
Yep.
Where'd you come from? Yeah. So wisely, I swapped out to the yes. you know, the sights, and then the scope rifle is just on the hunting rifle, and I'm fucking surgical with that bitch.
Oh yeah.
To the point where I'm concerned that I'm going to be like level 10 and this gun's still going to be level 4, and I'm going to be like, no.
Yeah.
I must keep it.
Yep.
But I'm so into it, like, I don't even care. Like, I'm just, I feel like, you know, I think part of it is because I remember the first one, and I remember enjoying it. I also remember being frustrated by it. And then it ended, and I was like, well, I don't know what to do. And right. this game, I just feel like it just feels better. I feel like I'm having so many fewer frustrations soloing it than I did in the first one.
So my only concern with it, and I played, so I was playing while you were playing this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I got through the mission where you rescue the daughter.
Yeah, okay.
So I played my theater. First actual
yep.
mission.
Yep.
And it was fucking great.
Yeah.
My concern still is the end game, and it's going to be this way for every looter shooter, or every game like this, simply because I don't have a group of friends I play with.
Right.
I play with me. You.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And, you know, we have our Xbox buddies that we, you know, occasionally right. play with. But, like, as far as, like, they're talking about this game having raids, and I'm never going to be able to experience that. And it
no.
sucks because well, I want to.
Right. But my hope is that, you know, when the end game comes, that you'd be able to just hit a button and do some matchmaking. And, like, if it's you and I and two other people, you know.
Sure. But, I mean, like Destiny. I've done no raids in Destiny 2.
Yeah, and I don't really care about raids here. Like I've done the raids I've done in Destiny have taught me that I don't really give a shit about raids.
Gotcha. See, I'm the opposite. I have such a good time. I love that in game, super difficult, like super mechanics heavy kind of content.
See, and I don't.
I gotcha. It's just so fun, man. When a team knows what like Crota. I keep going back to Crota because that's when I did the most.
Yeah.
It's so fun to do when you have a team of and everybody knows what to do. And, you know, at that time in Destiny 1, I had, God, man, probably 10 people that I played Destiny 1 with on PlayStation. And
right.
it was amazing. And that's like, it's like a drug, right? And I got it for a while, and now it's like I can't afford it anymore. And it sucks.
Like, yeah, and for me, it's more like what I want is I want, like okay, like in this game, when they talk about the end game, first of all, people are like rushing to get to the end game. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that. At all.
I hate that.
I don't understand that at all. Like mm-mm. just enjoy the fucking thing that you're doing. But right. then also, like, I go, okay, well, I can understand trying to get to it because you want to unlock the specialization. But I, you know, when that means then that, like, these super difficult enemies come and start
right.
like, fucking up everything that you've done so far, mm-hmm. I'm like, as long as I can solo that. Or get right. in a queue of folks and do it, I'm good. If I can't do yep. a raid, I don't really care. I don't want to feel like I did all this work to get to the end of this game, and now I can't enjoy stuff because it requires, you know, like, super, you know, like a group of you know, individuals that are all really coordinated and everything like that. But I'm not worrying about that right now. I mean, honestly, like,
no, me neither.
You know, I've got,
I'm level 3. So,
right. Like I've got so much stuff to do. There's going to be so much stuff for me to do. And there's a shit ton of games out. Like I have Ace Combat 7 and, Far Cry New Dawn, on their way to me. So I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like if it turns out that and they said the first year of content for this game is free, so I'm like, free, all right, yeah. cool. Well, this is awesome. And I bought it digitally, so it's easier to kind of switch back and forth. But you know, yeah, basically, you know, like I have actually have something about that, but I feel like the fact that if you bought this day one as a physical disc, you had to download it basically the entire game as a day one patch yep. was their way of saying of promoting of encouraging you in quotes to buy digitally,
yeah,
so that you don't then trade it in,
right? Yeah, like I'm such an advocate for physical media still, even games, mm-hmm. But the only reason. That I bought this game. First of all, the reason I bought it all at launch was so we could play together. And the only reason I went digital was because I had some PayPal cash. So the game ended up costing me like $13.
Right. But I bought it digitally because I knew that the patch was as long as it was. I knew as big as it was, I knew I wouldn't be able to get out to a store on mm-hmm. Friday with enough time to install it. And I wanted to play it Friday night.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I have to buy it. I pre-ordered it on Thursday. I had read, I do not advocate pre-ordering games simply because, but I had read enough of people's impressions of how the game was that I was like, okay, I feel pretty confident it's good, that I'm going to like it. They had done, you know, unlike Anthem, where that demo was a fucking steaming pile of shit, the beta right. for the Division 2, I felt like it really went off without a hitch. I had no problems at all, so I didn't have any.
I had some bugs.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah, absolutely, you did. But I didn't have any problems, and so
I've actually had one in the game so far too. This morning, I was like, I booted the game up, and it went to where that thing where it's like loading the online servers or whatever the fuck it is.
I did. I've had a couple, not a lot, but I have had a couple moments where I haven't been able to load in.
Yeah, I was like, this shit takes longer to load in than Destiny, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I just had to shut the game down and start over.
But I mean, for the most part, I've really been enjoying myself, mm-hmm. so, which I was glad because I liked the first one. Once it, you know, it just, I don't know, like, I'm not looking, like, I was a little concerned only because I went from, you know, Divinity, which is a 100-hour game, to Red mm-hmm. Dead, which is a 100-hour game, to Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is a huge fucking game. And I was like, I'm going to want back into another huge game, but I'm here, baby, and I'm loving it, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more, but I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, well, maybe tomorrow night we can get in together.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we got a bunch of movies and stuff to talk about. What do you want to do first?
I probably have less to say about Searching than any of the other two.
Okay, yeah.
How about you?
Yep. So Searching came out last year. John Cho, whom I'm a big fan of his. I don't know if mm-hmm. folks watched The Exorcist, short-lived as it was on Fox in season two. Yep. He was the head of a group home. Fantastic. But John Cho plays a man whose daughter goes missing, and the kind of the gimmick, I guess, for lack of a better word, is that the entire movie is done through like webcam screens and you know, like using your Mac and search windows and video chat and all that stuff. So no, you know, kind of no shots at all of somebody just kind of walking. Like, it's all done as if you are viewing it through a computer. His daughter goes missing. And he gets paired with Deborah Messing, plays the police officer, the detective assigned to his case, and he is trying to figure out what happened to his daughter. I thought it was good. I thought it was, yeah, you know, definitely a novel way, especially in kind of our lives, the way that you might go about in that situation. He makes a spreadsheet. He starts going through Facebook and. Mm-hmm. And it not necessarily just the fact that this was a novel way of creating a movie, mm-hmm. but the fact, you know, kind of touched on the fact that as a parent, or really anybody who maybe interacts with people online, you know, the image of themselves that they are able to put out there mm-hmm. Can be just entirely different from mm-hmm. the reality of what their life is.
Yeah.
And so that feeling of, and it wasn't a situation like, we won't spoil it, but it wasn't like a situation right. where like, oh, you know, his daughter was like a prostitute or something like that, and he didn't know. It was just more like, you know, there comes a time when he realizes his daughter maybe had fewer friends than he thought she did. And realizes that through like Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, there's also a moment, you know, like kind of the stereotypical, like, you know, oh, my, you know, the girl who was just like, yeah, she wasn't really a friend. And then when the police cameras turned on, just like, oh my God, yes, my best friend is missing. Right, yeah. but I thought it was good. I thought that my wife and I talked about this afterwards, and I said she didn't agree with me. I said I felt like all of the time leading up until what you kind of realize happened was way better than what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, it's one of those things. This one, I don't know. This one is unique in that it is the first time I've seen this type of a movie done this way. Mm-hmm. It's like specifically like this. It's not a horror flick, you know, because obviously when you think about this type of movie, Unfriended comes to mind first. It's the first thing that I saw that sort of used the webcam and the, you know, and the of course, in that movie, the dead girl, the girl who committed suicide comes back and is haunting their group chat and shit like that. But the whole movie's
their group, their Discord channel.
Right. But the whole movie is these teenagers who are all connected to this girl who committed suicide, and they're all in this online chat. And
do kids do online chats anymore? Like, to me, I feel like it'd just be like a group text.
Yeah, I don't know, like, man. I'm so old. I'm the same way, right? And that's the interesting thing about this movie is it kind of made me be like, shit, I guess I need to ask my kids, like, what's going on?
Y'all haunted? Kids, right? No? Cool. Yeah, peace right? out. Don't watch YouTube because they promote Nazis. Anyway, I'm out.
Like, it's so hard because everything's so private because everybody's in their phones or on their laptops. And it's like, mm-hmm. you walk in the room and the phone goes off or the laptop closes. And it's like,
what? Look. I can tell you straight up right now, I had some shit in my room. If my mom had found that shit. Okay, so real talk. When I was in seventh grade, my best friend and I, we sold stolen pornography.
Nice.
So we had a kid whose parents had a convenience store, and he would steal pornography. And when I say pornography, I don't mean Playboy. This was some fucked up bondage shit. Like, it was, like, black and white, like, that, they were so,
oof.
Yeah, like, and whatever, and so he would steal it, we would buy it, and then resell it, and I, for whatever reason, I had to store it at my house, because my best friend, his little brother, would repeatedly go into his room and search around for things. So I had to store it in my head. There were some tense, I ain't gonna lie, there were some tense moments where I was concerned that my mom would, like the backpack, like my mom would take my backpack and she would put it on this, we had this gold chair in our apartment out in what would be like the family room, I guess. And that's where my backpack would go for the morning. And so I hid the pornos. I had like folders, and I hid them behind the folders. and the backpack was just there on the gold chair with like this fucking nasty ass bondage porno plus other shit. And I just remember thinking, my mom, like I had my schoolwork, like I kept that shit tight. She knew not to worry. Like I was getting good grades, whatever. So she had no. I was like, if she goes through that, like if she's just like, oh, let me make sure you got this thing or that thing, and she looks through, like I don't even know what that's going to be. And that was we didn't have phones. Like I talk to my kids, like we talk to our kids about all that shit, but still the potential of there being something, because the phones go away and you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So like... It was a good movie. Like I was entertained. I like John Cho. Mm-hmm. I was interested enough to keep watching it. But like at the end, it's just not my kind of thing. It was like I'd rather watch Unfriended, to be honest with you, because I want to watch a fat kid stick his hand in a blender, more so than I want to watch John Cho hack his daughter's MacBook. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. It was such a Lifetime original version of Unfriended.
Oh, it absolutely is, and that's the thing. Okay, so first of all, though, from a technical perspective, I'm just curious because you were like, "Oh, I'll watch it here," and I was like, "No, man, I got the Plex. I sent you an email. How'd that work?"
No, it was great. Yeah, it was flawless.
Yeah. So the quality was good. You could.
Okay. It was like, It was like I was in the movie watching the movie. Because it was like I was watching it on the laptop, but I was watching him watch it or experience it on laptops and shit like that. So, yeah, it worked great.
So I have a Plex server, and Mitch and I had talked about it, and he's like, okay, well, I'll watch it here, I'll watch it there. And I was like, no, man, like, just out of curiosity, like, so I shot him an invite and said, you can watch it on my my Plex server. Because that's one of the things that Plex allows you to do is you can open it up to other people. And I was just curious kind of how that worked because I've never.
That was fucking great.
There you go. Well, now you've got full. I said, so here's something I said, and I don't have this. Okay. So please don't think this is going to happen. I said to Linda later on, I was like, hey, do you mind if I like let, I mean, obviously Linda, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, I don't know how any of that works. You said all that shit. I'd do whatever the fuck you want. I said, okay, here's a social experiment, right? Like, so you give your friends access to your Plex server, and then you make a folder. Because I can see, like, who's watching what. Like, I can see activity of anybody who's, like, logged into Plex, right? So they'll show you, like, what they've watched, right? So I was like, you make a folder called pornos. And then you make a subfolder called, in this case, it'd be, you know, like, Linda and me. And then you throw something in there, whatever. You take like whatever, fucking Guardians of the Galaxy. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You just take an MP4, you throw it in there, and you call it something like, you know, Kids Are Gone. And then you see how many of your friends would actually like would see it and go, I think this is their sex tape. I need to watch it. You know, like how many or how many of them would be like, no, man, I can't do that. Like I never look at him the same way. You know, like. Like just as a social experiment to see how many of your friends would be like, I think I'd like to watch him fuck. Like, these are the things, by the way, I think about. If you're ever like, hey, what kind of person is him? He's nasty. All right, let's move on.
It's an interesting thought because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, what would I do? Because
right. I know me. I would totally watch them.
Well, that's like, what I'm saying, like, right? Here's my thought process at the moment, and please don't take offense. Please. But I'm like, you know, if it was just you, I think I'd be like, it would be hilarious to watch him fuck. But
it would be. It's like a comedy and a tragedy at the same time.
Because I just feel like I would laugh, but like. I've met Linda, and I respect her enough to not click on the video.
Right.
So
right.
I couldn't do it.
Exactly.
I want to so bad.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. I just feel like I feel like that would be
– This went like, to a weird place.
Exactly, right? Like, it would – and then if I knew, I would always be – you know what I mean? You just have that in your back pocket.
Yeah. I don't think I could do it. I don't.
So these are the things I think about.
Jesus. Thank you for making me think about it.
For the record, I have never been in or wanted to make a sex tape.
I can just tell you that if I've ever been recorded, it wasn't to my knowledge.
Yeah. And I certainly.
But I drink a lot.
Certainly, if I were to make a sex tape, that shit, you'd watch it afterwards and go, ha, and then delete it immediately.
If I ever made one, I'd. Fucking text it to you. Don't worry.
I'd be like, Linda be like, what are we watching tonight? I'd be like, do I have a treat for you? It's called Alabama Slammer. Let's do
That's it. Certain one be called that.
Like, oh, shit.
Let's watch the disappointment in one of the partners' faces.
It's called Tears on a Saturday. Anyway.
That's it. Exactly. Jesus.
All right. Okay, but no, I mean, for me it was definitely more of a I'm not going to say it was a curiosity, but it was one of those movies I watched it and I was like I would never watch this again.
No, there's no reason to, honestly, like after you it's one of those ones. I can just tell you like I was just thinking the whole time my mom would be eating this shit up right now. Absolutely eating this shit up.
Really?
Yeah, like that's her thing, man. She loves that real crime shit. She fucking like she stays parked on like True TV, and if she's not watching the Food Network, she's watching somebody's life be ruined in one of these fucking true crime shows or movies. So.
We watched when my dad was here, because the same way we watched this, like I was like Investigation Discovery or something like that. Some network, and it was a guy, he had been a detective, and they made a whole show about his life. And I was like, what the fuck? And my dad and my stepmother, they had watched all the episodes. I go, this is a good one. I was like, okay. I guess we're watching this now. But anyway. All right. So next up is... so we sung the praises of... what's it when the night takes you?
Night comes for you.
The kind of chop soggy Indonesian kung fu flick. And yeah. Shortly afterwards you had said to me, oh yeah, the guys who made that movie, they made this ghost story called, you know, The Devil May the Devil Come For You. You should watch it. And I'd thrown it in my list. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. And I never watched it, and then the other day I watched it and I
Well, I don't know if I said you should watch it.
I think you did.
I may have, but what I specifically remember saying, and I rewatched it again because I knew we were going to talk about it, was after watching The Night Comes for Us, I expected this to be like this, like better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty, I don't want to say tame, because it's fucking bonkers. It's wild.
I was going to say, I don't think I would call it tame.
No, but like, it's, I don't know. I don't know what I expected from it, but I was kind of like, I thought
it's very straightforward,
more original than it was.
It's very straightforward. So what this is it's an Indonesian, ghost story where this, family, their father had, kind of had success as like a real estate developer. He falls ill with this strange disease. They go to his house to find out kind of what's up. And as it turns out, he had made like a deal with a witch. And it was like, I don't really fully understand the deal. It was like his first wife died. I think the deal was like, you can't be happy. And then he married again. And then shit went sideways. And so now the witch that, as you turn out later on, I don't want to spoil it, but... she was exacting revenge on him and his children.
Right.
And when they went to this house, the full kind of force of her revenge came bearing down upon them.
Yeah.
So it's very straightforward. It's just a very kind of typical wronged spirit type of movie.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty gnarly,
but it's fucked up.
Yeah, it's like I feel like Timo. I'm not even gonna attempt his last name. I can't remember his last name, but I know I can't pronounce it. I feel like he watched like the Evil Dead remake.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to do that, but then it added in elements from like The Exorcist, and there's like voodoo shit in there.
Yeah.
It's like a hodgepodge of all these different sort of other movies and genres, and like it has nothing original to say. It's not bad. If you like that stuff, it's well worth watching. It's a good time. It's fucking gory. It's nasty.
Yep.
You know, it entertains, but if you're looking for what I expected sort of it to do something that would sort of put itself apart, because you know, The Night Comes For Us was fucking amazing.
Right.
And I don't know. I was like, wow, yeah, that was good. But I was, and it's my own fault, I guess.
No, I think that's perfectly valid. I think that, you know, it you're right. It did. It was. It if you are looking, if you're just looking for like a solid kind of ghost revenge type of movie, you'll get it. But you're not going to get anything new. You're going to get some really good practical effects, some really fucking creepy ass moments.
Really gory.
Yeah, some gore, but you're not going to get anything that kind of redefines the genre or extends it. Because, you know, one of the things we talked about with the Night Comes For Us is the way, you know, he used kind of the physical space and the, you know, would stage the action shots in a way where this thing that happened early on in a fight scene comes back into play later on.
Yes.
And yeah, just yeah. all of the, you know, the, you know, the setting up of the action to where, you know, you could track it and follow it and stuff like that. Like, so you're not going to get anything like that. No, you're just going to get a straight up, you know, kind
very
of
very much point A to point B to point C and then credits.
Yeah. It's like a haunted house. It's just a small space. These people are in it. Okay. Well, just fucking let it go. But I, you know, it was still, you know, it was still kind of worth watching.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But,
I enjoyed
but, you know, I agree with you. I don't think it was, you know, the same type of experience as The Night Comes for Us, which I, you know, I mean, for me was, you know, kind of, you know, just was so many of those, you know, kind of John Woo movie, you know, or like Ip Man, yeah. you know, like those just kind yes. of chop socky type of things. Then with the raid in there, that kind of brutal violence of the raid and kind of all that together. And this was just a, like, I think your Evil Dead comparison is pretty good. But without any weird tongue stuff, which still freaks me out. that scene just, I can't know.
Man, if you haven't seen that remake in a while, good God, dude.
I need to rewatch. I don't have that still, one. I don't have it. I mean, I love the original.
But oh, I love the remake. I think it's fucking fantastic. But man,
who did the remake?
Oh, shit. If you hadn't asked me, I'd tell you. Hold on a second.
Because I remember, I mean, it's somebody, but I can't think of who it was.
Oh, Fede Alvarez.
And then what else did he do? He did something else we watched.
He did the Turkey Baster movie, Don't Breathe.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is. Yeah, that's right. Because I remember, I think when Don't Breathe was coming out, I watched The Evil Dead, and I was like, this is fun. Like, I mean, Evil Dead 2 is hilarious, but I mean, it's nasty, but it's also hilarious. The Evil Dead remake, not hilarious.
Not funny at all. No, it's supremely fucked. It's disgusting. It's creepy as shit. It's amazing.
That tongue scene, I can't. Tongues and eyes, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So one of mine is, and going back to the May the Devil Take You, one of mine is fingernails.
And oh, really?
Shit. Oh, I can't, dude. When somebody's being dragged somewhere and they're trying
to... Oh, and they scrape?
And their fucking fingernails like split off their... Oh, my God. That's one of my things. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's tongues and eyes. Because I think to myself, would I want that? No. I would not.
No. Right. Good. I'd almost rather you rip my tongue out than my fucking fingernails burst off my fingers as
really?
I'm scraping. Yes, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. I can't. Anything tongue-related. It's important. People hear me.
Why do you give a fuck what I have to say?
Nobody cares about me, neither.
If I were born without a tongue, my life wouldn't have been that much different.
all right. So last but not least, although I guess it depends. Okay. So I have to tell you, so I am currently living what you would consider to be your worst nightmare.
Yep.
I am rewatching every MCU movie to
that's not my worst nightmare.
To prepare for Endgame.
Yeah.
I am, although minus because I just watched Ant-Man and the Wasp, so I'm not gonna watch that one again. My wife and I we're gonna rewatch Infinity War. So I started with Iron Man, and I am working my way through. I just finished Iron Man 3 on Friday, which for my money is the best of all the Iron Man movies. Iron Man 2 is still pretty much garbage, in case you're wondering. But I think about you. When I watch these movies, because I'm like, how much would this bother him? Would this annoy him right now? Well, having gotten to Guardians of the Galaxy, that's coming. But once I do, I'll need to like live tweet it. So you could be like, fuck off.
I'll have to turn off the notifications.
I was like, text you throughout. Star-Lord is hot. Like,
He's oh, so, no, are they all infighting again? You're kidding.
He's so snarky. I don't know if you know this. Drax is very literal.
Also stupid.
But how excited are you that, James Gunn gets to do Suicide Squad 2, which there's thoughts of Polka Dot Man, so good luck with that one.
Honestly?
And Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I don't give a shit about that one, but Suicide Squad, the only thing that I've read that genuinely excites me is that he wants the movie to very much be in the tone of the original Ostrander series, like the original book.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how true that is, because if they're all infighting and acting like a bunch of fucking idiots, I'm not going to enjoy it. And I like the first one, so.
I mean, Idris Elba is Deadshot. Fucking, I'm there for that shit. Holy shit. Goddamn. Please. Yes, sir.
Let's remake the first one. Take Will Smith out.
You know what? No, but here's the thing. The best part for me of the first one is when Will Smith goes and they've got all the guns and he realizes the ammo is live.
Mm-hmm.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
Because it's a man given the thing he loves the most. And he realizes, oh, fuck, like, you have no idea. And he just is like, I've been in this goddamn place. I haven't been able to do any of this. Now I get to, not like I'm showing you because I want to show you what I can do, but this is genuinely what makes me the happiest.
Right.
And that moment of realization he has when he's like, oh, this shit is live? Are you fucking kidding? Do you not know who I am?
Right.
I love that scene. I think I think that tells you everything you need to know about Deadshot.
Oh yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, I'm not saying Will Smith was bad at all. I'm just saying if you're telling me Idris Elba can replace him, then yeah, let's remake it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So Captain Marvel. I mean, no surprise here. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Having rewatched all of the Marvel movies so far and kind of having that origin story template that they use, I was happy to see how they mix things up. I mean, it's still an origin story, but the fact that they kind of started with her already, you know, kind of being a badass and then mm-hmm. but it's not her true origins. And then it kind of goes from there. You know, like, I don't know how many more, like, new characters they plan on introducing. But they need to look at this movie and go and try to figure out if we're going to introduce a new character and tell their story from the beginning, we need to figure out a better way to do it. This is one way. But we can't follow the same template of, okay, here's Iron Man, here's Captain America, here's Ant-Man, here's Doctor Strange. You know, just like, he had no powers, now he has powers, he's got powers, yay! You know, that type of thing. You know, it was really refreshing to kind of, it was almost like Thor, where when you watch Thor from the beginning, you're like, okay, yeah, he's already like a badass, but he's not where he's going to be for the rest of the movies. So let's see kind of what that journey is, but we don't have to establish like what exactly happened for him to get this stuff.
Yeah. So that's an interesting point. And you're right, because of my whole thing, I was bored to tears for
seriously.
Yeah. For maybe 80% of this movie. No, I was bored to fucking tears. Now part of that is that I don't give a shit about Captain Marvel. And I'm 100%, you know, will own up to that. It's never been a character that I cared for.
But so you didn't read like the new stuff?
I have not read like the newest stuff because everything Marvel doing right now is dog shit in comics as far as I'm concerned. But as far as my knowledge of the character, the history and all that, it's just never been a character that I really cared that much about. Even though the fact that like he was like the first one who had this like real life problem because he had cancer and all, like the original Captain Marvel. Like all that stuff, it's just, it never interested me. I never was interested in the character. And so the movie already had that against it for me. And then I also don't like the Marvel cosmic stuff that much.
Really?
No,
well, I mean,
Nova.
I know you don't like the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, but is that because of your kind of what you knew of Guardians of the Galaxy before that, or is it just the cosmic stuff in general?
I just don't dig the cosmic stuff that much. Like I'm all on board for like Thanos is cool, and when he's fighting the Silver Surfer, sure, I like Silver Surfer, but the Nova Corps and all that, that's kind of cool. But like the Corsairs and all this other shit, I just don't care about it. Like it's not my jam, and so this movie also had that going against it. And it's interesting that you say, because it made me kind of rethink it. Because my main problem with it is I'm so fucking sick of the Marvel introducing a new character origin movie formula, and I guess I just don't think that having it out of order fixes that for me, because it's essentially it's the same thing. It's just shown sort of out of order, right? So she starts off and thinks she's this, and then you go to Earth, which is my favorite shit, was when they're on Earth. Like that's what I liked. I loved the chase scene with the Skrulls and the subway and all that. That's my favorite scene in the whole movie. And then when she did like finally break bad, mm-hmm. and she like wore the full suit, the flaming mohawk and shit like that, I was like, this is badass.
Yeah.
And then 4 seconds later, it was over and it never happened again. I was like, all right, well. And then it's, I don't know, man. It was boring. But again, I don't care about the character. And it's not my cup of tea when it comes to Marvel. Like, I would rather watch a Moon Knight movie. So,
yeah, I mean, for me, like, I had read the Kelly Sue, I think McConic, is that her name?
DeConnick.
And I loved, like, that whole line, the mm-hmm. further, faster, stronger. Like, I love those comics. Right.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
Yeah, I thought they were fucking great. So to kind of get that, I was all...
I 100% could see that. Like, again, like the last...
Like the Carol Corps? Like, I'm full on. Like, not the Civil War II. Fuck that noise.
That was fucking trash. And that's the last thing I read that she was in. And I fucking hate it.
But the Carol Corps prior to that, I was all in it.
Okay.
You know, like, I just thought it was such a great... Because here's the thing. Like... So many of this stuff is written where they're just like, these powers, they're not a gift, they're a burden.
Oh, yes.
You know, yeah, and so here comes a woman who, like, because I had read the Ms. Marvel stuff when I was a kid and all the Marvel stuff. Like, I read all that stuff. And so to finally get someone who was like, I have these fucking badass powers and I can't stay here anymore. I have to go. Like, I have to go out into space and see what the fuck I can do. I absolutely loved that about Captain Marvel. And so, you know, so for me, that was a big draw of this movie was you know, like, kind of fully being the Carol of the Carol Corps that I read and enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And then, but also on top of it, just, you know, some of the stuff with, I don't know, like I just, I when we talked about kind of the origin story stuff, I mean, I thought it was, you know, an interesting way of doing it, but also, like, we, you know, to have someone who enjoys having powers, and you see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when she finally kind of, that moment... You know, where she's, I'm not going to spoil it. It's not that big of a deal. She's kind of like plummeting to Earth.
Yeah.
And it just kind of kicks in. And she's like, fuck it. Here we go.
Yeah. No, that was bad.
I thought that was great. And I loved all the stuff with Sam Jackson, you know, up until that point. Although I think that this movie had a serious case of Solo syndrome, where I don't need... Like, you're answering questions I've never asked.
Yep.
I don't care.
Yep.
You know, like I feel like Solo did that, where they're like, okay, here's a whole bunch of shit you knew about Han Solo prior to this movie. Let's answer it all. And I'm like, I never asked that. I don't care. And then the same thing here. They're like, oh, you want to know how he lost his eye? No.
Right now.
I don't care. Like, he's a fucking secret agent. At some point,
Right. You could just have him say it.
But here's the thing. I don't need to know.
No, I don't either. But
I don't need to know, period.
He's just a badass motherfucker with a badass eye patch.
Right. At some point, something happened and he lost his eye. Okay. Cool. Good for you. I don't need to. I don't It was. I don't need to know it was a fucking Ted Nugent song and made it happen. Right. Like
this one goes the extra mile for in having the way it happened be shitty. So,
Right. Yeah. Like I feel like Solo did the same thing. Like I recently rewatched that and I liked it a lot more. The second time I watched it, but I still felt like
that's a good movie.
I still felt like they were providing answers to questions nobody was asking and acting like it was the most important thing in the world.
Right. Yeah. Although I liked how Han met Chewie. This is a whole different conversation, but it was, I thought it was neat to see that, but
no. And that to me is valid. The, you know, other parts of it, you know, not so much. And I shouldn't say it's not valid. It's just like, I don't, you know, I was like, okay, like I just kind of like certain things you just kind of take as a given.
Right.
Right. You're like, okay, that's a thing that happened.
Yep.
I don't need a full explanation of how it happened or why it happened. I just know that it did. You show me a motherfucker with an eye patch. I go, yes. At some point, he lost his eye. I don't need to know how.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to fuck his fucking claims report from United Healthcare where he submitted for it. Like, shit, it happened. Don't make him relive it. That probably wasn't great.
Right.
Although it was nice to see Clark Gregg again, Agent Coulson.
Is that Coulson? Okay, yeah, he was great.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is nobody watches it except me and like three other people. It has genuinely turned into a really good show, and he's great in it. So it was nice to see him back. But
man, the two episodes I watched were shit.
Well, okay. And I Todd and I used to have this discussion / fight all the time where I was like, if the only thing that made your show interesting was a completely unrelated movie, you had problems.
Right.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did not turn into a good show until Winter Soldier came out.
Winter Soldier, yeah, I remember that.
Then it was fucking great.
Well,
but if your show relies on an external event that happened in between season one and two for you to be a good show, you have problems with your show. Because who's going to wait around with everything that's going on? Not everything that's going on. All the things that you have vying for your time. Right. Who's going to watch the show and go, gosh, I hope at some point in the future there's a movie that makes this show interesting? No, that makes no sense. Who's going to do that?
Right.
But for me, like, so they recently announced that Arrow, I don't know if you watch the Greg Berlanti shows on the CW.
God, no.
Okay. I do. We watch them all.
I saw that it was getting canceled.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's not getting canceled. They are ending it.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
Sorry. Season two of Arrow was hands down one of the best seasons of television I've seen. And it has never reached those heights since then.
Same thing with Walking Dead.
It's not the finale. There's an episode like... No, it is a finale. The season finale of Arrow season two is one of the best fucking 42 minutes of television I've seen. It is fucking great.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gone downhill since then. So when I found out that like Arrow was like calling, like ending it, I was like, okay, yeah, they probably should. They don't seem to know what to do with him. Now, the difference between seasons one of Legends of Tomorrow and every season since then is the same thing for me as the difference between season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and every season since then. It's like that first season didn't happen. And for people who are like, yeah, I watched it and I didn't like it, I totally get it. I would never say to someone, well, you need to keep watching it for an entire season in the hopes that it gets better. That's what I do. I would not suggest you do that. It doesn't always work out. I sat through three seasons of The Following and it never worked out.
Yeah.
But the subsequent seasons two and three, like Legends of Tomorrow is, for my money, the best show on the CW outside of Supernatural. It is fucking fantastic. It is funny. You care about the characters. They have some really good action moments. Their characterization is fucking spot. They know, those writers know who all of those characters are and how mm-hmm. they would interact in different situations, not just with each other, but external things too. And it just makes for some really great stories. And then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the same way. So I was like really super excited to see Agent Coulson back, even if it was in a very like limited capacity.
Yeah. Yeah, he was great. Like I only know him. I basically only know him from the Marvel movies he's in. I mean, I watched the first episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I hated it. And then I watched the first episode after Winter Soldier and I was confused and hated it. And I never watched another one.
Well, there you go. So you'll go see Endgame. Were you like, I feel like a lot of people were like, okay, I need to see, like, it's funny. I read this article where they were like, it's a really good movie. It's just at the wrong time. And I was like, what? And they were like, we want to get right to Endgame. This feels like they should have put this movie out.
Mm.
And here's the thing. They also really enjoyed Ant-Man and the Wasp, which I was like, wait, what? Like, do you feel like Endgame is in any way diminished because we couldn't go right from Infinity? I mean, I know you don't give a shit, but you can't go right from one to the other.
Well, I sort of see the argument to where I understand why this movie happens when it does because of the end credit scene from the last one. Because it makes no sense if they haven't already made this movie. Now, I kind of see that argument to where if there was a Captain Marvel 1 and 2 and she was already established, at least this one, right? And she was such a badass in this one, which she was badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hadn't seen her again since whatever year they put this one out. And then when Nick Fury hits that pager and you're like, oh, shit. That would have been a badass moment. Like it would have. I think.
Oh, you mean if you knew who she was and you knew that's okay.
And hit that thing. That would have made that moment, that end credit scene, not confusing, which is for a lot of people what it was. Like, imagine if this movie already existed and that scene pops on, you're like, holy shit! Like, it's
I think I can see that, but at the same time, I go. It's hard, right? Like balancing these movies as a fan of the comics and then a fan of the movies. It is nice to have something where if you are a fan of the comics, you know what the fuck is up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For comic fans, it was already that moment.
You were just like, oh shit. Right. Like, but I see your point. So like, I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is like, it's just a fun. I don't want to call it a palate cleanser because I think that diminishes. Say that again.
Terms. It's a one shot in comic terms.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a one shot. Absolutely. So you can still kind of be like, okay, this really depressing thing happened. Well, here's this fun, similar vein to the first, like a heist type of movie. Mm-hmm. But I guess I could see the point if they had released Captain Marvel prior to Infinity War. But I think here's the thing. I think if they had released it prior to Infinity War, they would be like, why isn't anybody else calling for her?
Right. I think it's like not to bring up this comparison because Jesus Christ, I don't want to talk about this anymore. But it's like the difference between Wonder Woman showing up in
BBS. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh shit, it's about to get real because everybody knows who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody knows who Captain Marvel is. So that symbol on a pager, a lot of people's like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
And if we had seen this movie before, it would have been that Wonder Woman moment.
Right.
Without there being a Wonder Woman movie.
Right.
So I think that's the difference. I think if the character was more known, and that's where I think, honestly, this coming out beforehand would have helped, whereas it didn't matter as much in BVS.
Yeah. Although I still, what I want, and I don't think we'll ever get it, is because continuity wise, I don't know how they would kind of fit it in. I want a movie of what happened between, first of all, how do you feel about how they changed up kind of the Skrull for this movie?
I'm not a big fan.
See, I was like originally
it was funny,
like, but and to me it doesn't it doesn't keep the original intent of the Skrull from being a thing. Because
you're right.
Because, you know, you're looking at this as this particular band of Skrulls just wanted to be reunited and have their own place to hang out where they don't have to be bothered. That's not to say there aren't other Skrulls that are like, you know what? Fuck this. Right. We've been forced from our homes. We're about to get ours. So, you know, originally I was like, wow, that's a huge change. And it is on an individual Skrull level, but not, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have a larger story where folks are still trying to
still trying to
fuck shit up.
It certainly doesn't take away from the possibility of a Super Skrull going up against the Fantastic Four.
Oh my god.
I think that's what we all want. I mean, that's
but I want a Fantastic Four movie done right.
Oh, I do too. 100%.
I want a Fantastic movie done right. Get Michael B. Jordan back.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Get him and Chris Evans back. They can both be Johnny Storm.
What if we didn't ruin Doctor Doom too? That'd be great.
How do you not? Okay. Full stop. One of my favorite comic books I had as a kid was a graphic novel. It was Doctor Doom, and I want to say Wolverine because Wolverine was in fucking everything. Like Doctor Doom going to hell to bargain with Mephisto for his mom.
Yeah.
And he gets her out, and she's like, I don't get the fuck away. I didn't ask for this. I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, how do you continually fuck up Doctor Doom? To this day, I will confuse Latvia, a real country, with real people?
Latveria.
With Latveria. I worked with a woman for 2.5 years who was from Latvia, and I kept asking her, like, well, how is Doom? Have you met him? He seems like he seems like he cares about you. Yeah. Is your mom happy with him? I mean, those kind of robots he has seems creepy, but the trains, they seem like they run on time. I don't understand how you continually fuck up Doctor Doom.
The greatest villain in all of Marvel. And they
he's science.
He's yet to be in a movie. He's done
tech. Is magic. And you fuck him up repeatedly. I don't understand how that happens. I genuinely don't get it.
I know. But then they can take C-list fucking villains and make them badass in movies.
Exactly.
It's mind-boggling.
Exactly. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great, you know, but I'm you know what? I mean, I will confess, I'm not a Marvel fanboy in the sense of I want DC movies to perform poorly. I'm not like that. Like, I heard that Shazam was great, and I was like, fucking yes, I hope so. Yeah. I can't fucking wait to watch that movie.
Oh, me too.
I hope it's fantastic. But I don't. Do I give Marvel movies a pass? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I don't.
I know you don't, which is why it's good that we do these things together.
Yeah.
I am super excited to see how Carol wrecks Thanos' shit.
Same here. And this one, for me, I put it probably in the lower 3/4 of my Marvel rankings. But that being said, it makes me excited for this character coming back in other movies or even another movie with her in it. Give me a part two. When I don't have to worry about the origin and I'm not bored as shit, like, I'm happy to see this character again.
And I like Brie Larson. I think she's great. In a perfect world for me, Brie Larson, so they would do an Edge of Tomorrow sequel where Brie Larson travels through time and is what the fuck's her name? She was in the original Edge of Tomorrow, and she was in Quiet Place. Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, yeah.
So Brie Larson plays Emily Blunt's daughter, propelled through time, and they fight aliens together. Fuck Tom Cruise. We don't need him in it at all.
Suits. Yeah, fuck him.
Just give me Brie Larson and fucking Emily Blunt in exosuits together fighting robots for an hour and a half. Fuck that. Like, I need to rewatch Kong Skull Island.
I love that movie.
That movie's fucking great.
I fucking love that movie. I could watch it right now.
Fuck Loki. Get him the fuck out of here. Who gives a fuck?
I've seen that shit.
I love that movie.
God. Probably 10 times or more at this point.
You know, there are certain movies where I'm like, I like the movie, but you know what I really liked more? Trailer. The trailer for Kong Skull Island is fucking mad. The trailer for that, trailer for Wonder Woman, trailer for the last Mission Impossible movie. What the fuck? You make me like an Imagine Dragons song? Get the fuck out of here. That's magic. That's sorcery as far as I'm concerned, because that band is trash.
Yeah, they're fucking garbage.
They are terrible. Like, I joke with my daughter because she likes them, and I always tell her she has poor taste in music. And part of me is like, yeah, you think I'm joking? I'm not. You have shitty taste in music.
Yeah, they make me like Creed, which is saying something.
That's
like Creed. They make me apologetic towards Creed.
No, Creed is still awful.
They are, but I feel bad for being so hard on them, because once I hear this shit,
no, I'm like, wow, I don't.
It isn't the absolute worst.
Scott Stapp is he's a douchebag.
Oh, well, for sure, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't really know that we actually came to a point on Catmar. So you were bored, so you say it's bottom three quarters.
Yeah.
Like, where, just out of curiosity, because I feel like all of your, there's like a giant empty space that takes up essentially what would be, like, there's just nothing. It's like an empty closet. Like, what, when you say bottom three quarters, what is that? What other movies?
I guess this would be the most telling thing. I would rather watch the first Guardians again than watch this movie.
Really?
Again.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's down there with the first two Thor movies. I don't know, man. It did nothing different.
Okay.
You know, if I hadn't seen Iron Man before, maybe I'd be fucking blown away by this, but I'm so tired of the Marvel origin, because I already know who the fucking characters are. I'm like, just get the fuck on with it.
Got it.
So, I look forward to the sequel. But this one, I'm like, if I never see it again, I'll be okay with that. I'll have to see it again, because I'm sure my daughter is going to love it. And when I get the Blu-ray, we'll watch it on repeat probably. And I'm fine with that.
Right.
You know, I love that.
Right.
But for me, being who I am, I'm like, it's a Marvel origin movie about a character that I really don't give a shit about.
Yeah, and for me, it is, like, I've put this firmly in, like, the Doctor Strange, the Ant-Man, which I love those movies. Are they my favorites?
Doctor Strange way better than this.
Yeah. Are they my favorites? No. But would I gladly watch them again? Probably. Yeah. I would say I would put them at, like, a solid, like, a B.
Okay.
Like, having rewatched, like, all the movies going forward, like, Iron Man 2 is still fucking garbage. To me, that's, like, the lowest.
I need to watch it again, because I don't remember hating that one as much as everybody else seems to.
It's so bad.
I remember the ending with War Machine is fucking awesome.
My wife was like, what didn't you like about it? I'm like, he's sad the whole time because he doesn't think his dad loved him. Yeah, fucking get in line, dude. Like,
well, yeah, but I don't know. I feel like that's cooler than him being scared of every fucking thing in part three. And
no, three is so much better.
Three makes sense
because he is, like, after what happened in Avengers, it makes sense that he would feel the way that he did. Whereas two, you're like, my dad didn't like me, so I'm sad. Turns out everybody liked him more than they like me.
I don't necessarily need little kid Iron Man and Pepper being Iron Man more than Tony being Iron Man.
Okay, first of all, they're not more than him.
Okay, well, maybe, but I just don't remember it then.
But
I
guess two is just, I didn't even realize, couldn't fully understand, like, why he was upset in two. It literally was people like my dad and he wasn't all that great. Mm. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I do
fucking kind of get in line, dude. Like, like, I genuinely couldn't figure out why in two, like, he's getting drunk and getting in a fight. That fight with him and Rhodey at his birthday party? Why? Yeah. Why? Yeah. Like, it just made, like, don't get me wrong, like, fucking Whiplash, I thought, I mean, he was underused, but you know, they still, like, 2 was still, like, okay, well, like, we had to have, like, Iron Man is in a suit, so all the villains have to be in suits.
True, yeah.
And then in 3, they're like, nah, this, you know, we're just going to make the guy from Memento breathe fire. And you're like, okay. But anyway, so for me, like, Captain Marvel would be, it's like an Ant-Man, it's like a Doctor Strange, where I think a lot of how you enjoy the movie, most people aren't going to know who they are, so it really comes down to the person playing them, and kind of their kind of journey along the way, and you either kind of, you're like along for the ride or you're not. Like, I know a lot of people think both of those movies, Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, are like boring as shit, but I fucking love them.
Yeah. Well, so. And again, like I said, for me, it comes down to the character. I like Doctor Strange more than I like Captain Marvel. So therefore I like the Doctor Strange movie, even though it's not my favorite.
Sure.
I liked it better than Captain Marvel. So that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Right. Nope. I get it. All right. So, that's it for us. Next time though,
oh shit!
Yeah,
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's us, baby. Yeah,
I can't wait for us
next week. My kids were like,
fucking ready.
They were like, you know, so they go to grandma's every Saturday, and they got friends to play, and they're like, they showed us a trailer for Us, but it was like really shady, so we couldn't see it. And I was like, I don't know, that's because they're not horror movie people.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I don't think. And I was like, they're like, we really couldn't see what was going on. And I was like, oh, okay. And they're like, why would, the twins, do they know? I was like, nobody knows. We don't know. We just know it's in the trailer, but we don't know.
This one's going to be, this was for people who argue that the last one wasn't horror. There's going to be no question this time. I know, but I'm just saying.
That.
I agree.
I watched some fucking garbage Twitter argument where they're like, Jordan Peele, they don't use the palette that horror movies. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Right. No, I agree. But I think this one, there's going to be no denying.
I already read that it was good. I don't want to read anything else. I don't want to know anything else. I'm done.
I didn't even watch a trailer. Like, I saw the trailer came out, and I was like, nope.
I watched the first trailer, and I was like, that's fucked up. I'm done watching
trailers, man.
And then I watched the second trailer, and I was like, that is even more fucked up. And I was like, I'm not. I don't want to know anything else. And I saw today Jordan Peele tweeted out Us as a horror movie. I was like, fuck yeah, it is.
I saw that too. Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Because fucking love Hereditary, but fuck that guy for saying Hereditary is not a horror movie. Bullshit.
Yeah, and then his next movie, Midsommar, that's like, it's bees. Like, fuck that. I'm like, that's Wicker Man. That's fucking The Ritual. That's all that not The Ritual. What's the one with the guy from The Guest? We just watched it. Apostle.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't tell me fucking Midsommar is not a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hereditary is not a horror movie. Get the fuck out of here. Creature was a horror movie, and ain't nobody saw the goddamn fucking head off in that movie. Fuck out of here.
Yeah,
Gabriel burns fucking to death, and you're like, it's not a horror movie. What the fuck happens in your life, motherfucker? Yeah, like,
I was about to say, did you watch the last fucking 20 minutes of your own goddamn movie?
What happens at your family dinners? Because that shit was terrifying. Yeah, can't wait for Us, and then like 2 weeks later, fucking Shazam.
Yeah, man,
I'm all in for that. It's gonna be good next, it's 4 or 5 weeks.
I don't know. I did the same thing last year. I was like, where are all the fucking movies? And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, here they are.
Yeah, here's all the movies ever.
I feel like that's gonna happen again this year.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll definitely have us to talk about next week, and then hopefully, next show, I'll have more time with Division, and then hopefully, I at the very least for Ace Combat, I hope that you don't need to do all of the story missions to get to the VR stuff, because I very much want to vomit all over the place.
Yep.
In the service of the show.
I am looking forward to paying $20 for that and only doing the VR shit if that's a possibility.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know. You know, I'm trying to think if I've even played an Ace Combat game before.
I have, and I like jet fighter games and shit like that, but like the whole Japanese fucked up weird story shit, I can never get into it in Ace Combat.
I need gravity. I mean, I need there to not be gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, as a human being, I need gravity, but as a as somebody who's supposed to fly a plane and actually like complete a mission, I can't have gravity.
Right.
It just is. So anyway, so this has been episode, what is it, 68?
68.
Yes, next one's nice. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it as always. And then hopefully you will be with us in the next 2 weeks. So for myself and Mitch, thank you so much. We'll hang out with you in the next couple of weeks. Good night. Have a good evening. I got the button already. I'm ready to go. That's professional.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.